Unlike its competition, Hawksoft definitely treats all of its users as people, as individuals. We're not just a number. Hawksoft listens to us. Hawksoft takes our suggestions and makes them a reality for us. Hawksoft is constantly looking to update its system and make it work better for us. My name's Milena Farrell from Cedar Risk Management, and this is why I chose Hawksoft.
Hey guys, it's Bradley. I want to tell you about Ascend. Ascend is not just another premium finance company. Ascend will solve all of your agency bill problems through automation of invoicing, premium financing, carrier payables, all the way to the end of the workflow. There's a lot of hidden costs with how you're doing business today. AMSs, CRMs can spend more than half the day chasing down payments, following up on non-pays, getting signatures for financing docs. This leads to an overworked, overwhelmed, unhappy team. And guys, you want your team to be happy. Industry's hard enough as it is. We really need them to be happy. As your agency grows, this issue gets worse and worse. And we typically solve the problem with a little bit of software, but a ton of manpower still involved. With Ascend, you can use a software-first solution and just need a little bit of manpower, allowing you to grow without significant increase in overhead. Ascend automates all of these repetitive payment processes so your team can get back to helping your clients. With Ascend, we've seen non-payment cancellations in our agency go down up to 95%. Teams save more than 20 hours per month when they work with Ascend, and an average of a 75% decrease in payment-related customer questions. Guys, if people aren't calling your office with questions, you have more time to sell and grow your agency. Visit useascend.com/insurance, guys. Guys, Ascend makes agency bill as easy as direct bill, but you keep all of the benefits of agency bill, the best of both worlds. Thanks, guys.
Insurance agents from around the world, welcome to the Insurance Guys Podcast, powered by Hawksoft.
God, I love Hawksoft.
My name is Scott Howell, your fearless host and leader, insurance agency owner and insurance evangelist for I Protect Insurance and Financial Services, based out of Huntsville, Alabama. And before we get started on today's episode, please help me welcome. He is a 6'3" sophomore from Mobile, Alabama. Parade First Team All-American, Rivals 5-star recruit. He is a fantastic insurance agent and a great American. Ladies and gentlemen, please stand and welcome the incomparable Mr. Bradley Flowers. How are you, Bradley?
Great, Scott. How are you today?
Best I've ever been, folks. If you've watched the last couple podcasts, so last night, after watching a nuclear device being shipped to the Ukraine go through Pritchard, Alabama, I checked into my hotel and then proceeded to watch a kid bleed out on the sidewalk from 3 gunshots to the chest. It's been a phenomenal first day at Mobile, Alabama, Bradley.
I have a gift for you.
Okay, what's it for?
So, I know you don't like...
Wait. What special occasion? Did you do something and you're trying to make
you're
up for
it? You're going to know when you see it. So okay. I have a gift for you, and I know you don't like gifts, and I know specifically that you do not like expensive gifts, but you know, things have been really good here at the agency, and I just wanted to show my love to you since I never tell you I love you.
Let's stop right now. Hey, call 911. We need 2 ambulances. Criminal psychology. He's done something. I don't know what he's done.
I splurged. Kerry Wallace is going to kill me for this. I splurged and I bought you a DeLorean.
I hope it's not the one that's for sale net down the street from my house for $81,000.
Go look out the window right there.
You're freaking lying.
I'm not. I got you a DeLorean.
I don't believe it. I don't. Is there something about to hit me? Is there going to something fall on my head?
You hadn't seen it yet.
DeLorean.
There's a DeLorean right there, right at the window.
Oh.
I got him a DeLorean, everybody. It is 2 inches long. Why don't you show it to the cameras?
Got to make sure my trick hip didn't fall out of place. Hey, everybody, there's my DeLorean.
Did you really think I bought you a DeLorean?
I don't know.
I felt like I did a good job of selling that.
Oh, you really did. You really did. The whole Kerry Wallace thing was a nice touch.
She's probably going to be listening to this and going like, oh, my God, Bradley.
Well, and the one that's for sale, first edition, that's won like the first place grand prize. So, guys, there's a DeLorean for sale at a used car lot 5 miles from my house that specializes in antique cars. And it's like won the first place at ribbon at the whatever. $81,000 for that DeLorean. And here's the damnedest thing about it. I have to drive by that sumbitch every single day. So it kind of eats at you. You know, like
go by there and do a video, do a test drive. Does it run?
Dude, it's like it just came off the lot.
You need to go hire a videographer and test drive it and do like some kind of promotional video.
But will the guy not be like, well, are you really interested? And I'm going to be like, well, no, I just want this for content for social media.
I'd just be upfront about it. I'd be like, let me pay you $100.
Yeah. Give him.
Yeah.
He's going to say, well, I'll let you drive it from here down there in the parking lot and back. But I mean, this thing is like legit. It's a legit, just came off the factory line DeLorean. And I have to drive by it every single day. Bradley, thank you so much for my DeLorean.
You're welcome. Look at stole that from my nephew.
This thing right here. Did you really?
Yeah, it is.
it's not in bad shape. I like it. I'll have to keep that, put that in my office. Guys, thank you so much for joining us today. We are excited to have our guest on. I'm just going to go ahead and come out and say it. I've always been an open book with everybody that listens to this podcast. The two guests that we have on today are better insurance agents than I am. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. They run a fantastic shop. They have a lot of processes and procedures that I'm trying to borrow from them. One of the reasons we wanted to have them on this podcast today, they have, and we talked about it a couple of years ago, I believe, up at the Paradiso Mastermind. They actually came up and presented this, in my opinion, one-of-a-kind employee review process. And I was just taking notes like a freaking freight train that day, writing all this down. And then we tried to implement their process, had some personnel things going on at that time that we just couldn't. But I just told one of our guests, I said, hey, I got to get back with you next week and get revisit that, because in my opinion, it is the best employee process in terms of employee review process that I have ever heard. Now, the old school way that Scott has always had in terms of me personally getting employee reviews of myself when I worked for other people went like this. I work. Then my boss would get mad at me, come in my office and go, we need to have an employee review. Okay. Well, so tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock in my office, we need to have an employee review. I'm going to write some stuff down and we need to have an employee. Do you think that sumbitch ever bothered asking me what I thought? No, because of ego and pride and the fact that he thought he was better than I was. So instead, we just sit there. He's pissed off at Scott and let him chew my ass for 20 or 30 minutes. And that's our employee review. We'll let that sit for just a second, because there's a whole lot of people listening to this podcast that really needed to hear that. Because some of y'all are the exact same way. You want to give an employee review, but you don't want nobody to tell you anything about what you might be doing wrong, going out and playing golf from 3 to 6 o'clock every day, or being an asshole, or whatever the case may be. So I want to give them the introduction they've always deserved. First and foremost, and by the way, both are better agents than I am. If you are out there and you're a consumer listening to this, do not buy insurance from me. Go buy it from them. They're better than I am. First and foremost, and of course, I'm coming out of the gate hot, going to mispronounce it, where he's originally from. And if I'm not careful, this is going to sound like female anatomy body part and we'll probably get canceled. Thanks for that, Brett. Originally, he is from Umatilla, Florida.
Is that right?
It's Umatilla. Close.
No matter how he said it, he was going to say
Ovarian, it. Florida. Originally from Uterus, Florida.
Can I tell you a funny story?
Oh my God. Listen to where he currently resides. Eustis, Florida. Are you kidding me?
Right.
Are you kidding me right now?
Scott has.
Did you have any crazier ass names to be from?
Scott has four clients named Eustis.
Oh my God.
When you started having your hip problems, hang on. When you started having your hip problems and you thought it was your groin.
For about 6 months.
I was telling Carruthers, I was like, man, Scott's like, he's in rough shape. And he said he had this problem with his groin and he kept calling it his groin. And David said, I knew he said it that way. Even before you told me he said it that way, I knew he said it that way.
Wait. Let's back up. Before that, I go to the Jason Cass Mastermind in Kansas City, Missouri, to speak.
Yeah.
And spent the entire mastermind with explosive diarrhea in the bathroom.
Yeah, I remember.
Because I have Crohn's disease on top of now having a fake hip. I'm telling you, you better get that list of potential podcast co-hosts out and start dialing that in. Anyway, Eustace, Florida, I'm speechless. He is married to the beautiful Caitlin. Three beautiful babies. And he is in that season of his life right now where he's got T-ball practice on top of soccer practice on top of, I got to go pick the kids up at the church. And then we got to go to the birthday party at the skating rink. Here they are, Camden, age 11, Charleston, age 8. Madden, is that right? Did I say that right, Madden?
Right.
Age 2.
Yeah.
He's a graduate of Belhaven University with a degree in business management and also graduate Seminole Community College. From 2009 to 2022, he was a commercial agent with the Merrill Insurance. And today, here we are, 2023, 2024. He is the CEO of Merrill Insurance. Ladies and gentlemen, I've already told you he's a better insurance agent than I am. I want to introduce my friend, Mr. Brett Merrill. How are you, Brett?
I'm doing great. Thanks, Scott. I appreciate the mess up on the name. Nobody ever gets it right. But I grew up in Umatilla, a town of 3,000 people with one stoplight. So I think that's probably where you currently live.
Minus the stoplight.
Do you have stoplights in Pine Ridge?
No. We do have two stop signs.
Stop signs. Okay.
Yeah.
Technology.
Signs. Yes. Yeah, signs, not lights. Next one up to bat. Ladies and gentlemen, you know, let me say this about her. If I had about four of her, I would probably be at about $50 million right now in premium. She's that good. She's probably at what she does top 0.001% in this industry. And I'm blessed to have her on this show. Guys, y'all are going to learn so much from these two people. Unfortunately, she too is originally from Eustace, Florida. Is that the same? Yes. Oh, my gosh. And here comes the next name where she currently resides. Tavares, Florida. Y'all got to work on these names, guys. I need simple, easy, you know, Smith Station or, you know, whatever, Red Bay or whatever it is. Her partner's name is Angel. They have one beautiful baby, Elliot, age 10 months, and she is a graduate of Florida State University. Have I ever told you, Bradley, I've always had this romantic in my next life when I come back, I want to go to Florida State University to school. I just think it'd be fun. I just think it'd be fun. Like, I think FSU to me, I've never even been to Tallahassee.
I've been to one game there.
I just think it would be so much fun to go to school at FSU. That's what we need to do the podcast on, is all the fun she had at FSU. Gosh, I think it'd be great. I love the whole Florida State thing, Bobby Bowden and the foot, and I just think it'd be a fun place to go to school. Anyway, I'm having a senior moment right now. She is the current COO of Merrill Insurance. Ladies and gentlemen, it is my profound honor today. Again, she's one of the best we have and best and brightest in this industry, Miss Katie Centron. How are you, Katie?
Doing well. Thank you so much.
Katie, Brett, I've got so much to talk to you about today and wildly interested because the mission of this podcast is to help these insurance agents in any way we can. Y'all come up a couple years ago and you gave this fantastic presentation of what I believe is the best employee review process in the business. Maybe in any industry, I don't know. But give these agents the breakdown of kind of how that process goes. I know this is going to be a 10 or 15 minute talk because it just takes a little while to get through it, but I feel like it's so important. You know, I think so many agents and so many business people that are listening to this wait until they're pissed off at employees and go, we need to have an employee review. And the way you guys structure this process, it's not that. It's here's when we're going to do it. Here's how we're going to do it. I'm going to shut up. Y'all go ahead. Talk about it. I want to hear more about it.
Well, thanks. I appreciate that. The process was sort of born out of a lot of the same frustrations that you mentioned already. It was knowing that the process that was there or kind of lack thereof happened super occasionally. It was this very print out 20 copies of this Word document and manually write it all in and then have to make more copies of that before you actually talk to anybody. And I did it one time after I was promoted into a manager position. And I told Brett that I'm never doing this again. And he kind of just looked at me and he's like, well, what are we going to do instead? I'm like, I don't know. I'm going to figure it out. And so I tried. I can't even tell you how many demos I did. I probably did 15 demos with other similar software companies. Some were like full HR suites. Some were really expensive. Some hardly were. And I hated them all. I didn't have one that I even remotely liked. And most of them meant that we had to kind of build it to customize it and make it our own anyway, which seemed just like a waste of money. If I was going to pay somebody to do it, I wanted it to be done how I wanted it. So I said, I told Brett one day, I'm like, I'm going to just build this on my own. And he was like, well, how? And I'm like, I don't know, I'll figure it out. And so I did, I kind of just winged it. And I am really fortunate to come from a place where insurance isn't my only background. So I've been with corporations and been in government and been just in a bunch of different places and kind of knew what I liked a little bit about different performance review processes and what doesn't work. And so I kind of decided that typically people are really afraid of performance reviews for some of the reasons that you mentioned. Usually it doesn't even get brought up until someone's angry or, you know, somebody's going to come asking for more money and you have to try to come up with all the reasons why they don't deserve more money or they do. And it usually has a super negative connotation around it. And I couldn't stand it and kind of figured out that the only way to make it so people weren't afraid of them is to make sure that they're regularly scheduled every single year. So everybody always knows that they're coming, and to make it in a way where they can understand that it's a conversation about them as an employee. So the first thing that we really did was taking performance out of it. We just made it about the employee. And so how it works is it's a three-step process and it is a three-week period as well. So you have the self-evaluation process, the leader evaluation process, and then the one-on-one conversation. So the first week, all the employees are completing their own self-evaluation. Next week is the leaders. And then as soon as the leaders are done, the report is generated automatically, comes to me to review. And then that following week is their one-on-one with their manager or with the employee and their leader. And they're going over that report, basically what the employee said about themselves and what their leader said about them. And what we found was two things. The first year, the first cycle that we did it, people kind of just rated themselves 1 through 5. They weren't really sure what the data was going to be used for, because we did have people coming from different organizations and different industries where reviews were a bad thing or anything that they said was kind of held against them. So it took a good cycle for people to break their shell. And then once they did, people really, really opened up. They're very vulnerable with things that they're struggling with, where they think that they can kind of improve on, where they need more resources, we need more resources. They're very honest about, hey, this resource exists, I've just been ignoring it and that's on me type thing. But I think we got to a place of comfortability between leaders and the employees, because they kind of realized that they're far more aligned than they even thought. And it took a lot of that fear out of performance reviews themselves. So we got to spend a lot more time talking with people and setting goals. And I'll say one thing that we do very well just across the board is every single person in the agency has a one-on-one with their leader every week. And since we've implemented those in the last year, performance reviews this go around were even more aligned. We didn't have anybody who was kind of caught on their heels with information that was brought up. So what it looked like at the very beginning looks a lot different now. And as an EOS company in our L10, almost every single week for the last quarter the last quarter of 2023 and first quarter of 2024, we've been talking about performance reviews, how they went, how we think we can improve them for the next year. And it's kind of how really high level, how it was born and kind of where it's come to.
So Katie, couple questions I have. You mentioned what I was talking about, how the term employee review or performance review has such a negative connotation across any industry. You know, as an employee, which I've been a bunch of in my life and worked for some terrible, awful, horrible people, won't name any names. Should we just call it something else? Could we figure out some new name to call this so that maybe they don't even know that what we're doing is what we're doing because it's so awful in terms of mindset?
I agree. It's rough. And we've definitely played around with different words. Words matter.
Words do matter. I actually tweeted that the other day. Words matter.
They do. And what I like about our leadership team is we're doing a much better job of holding each other accountable to the fact that words matter. We can't just willy-nilly name something. So, and I'll
tell you one thing. If I was a 22, 23-year-old living in that part of Florida, I would crawl to Merrill Lynch. I'd say, don't even pay me for the first year to be a part of Merrill Lynch. Do you not realize how much you could learn from these people if you went to work? I'm going to send my son down there. I'm gonna make him go to Florida State, and I'm going to make him go to work for Brett.
You just want to go party at Florida State.
No, I'm going to make him go to work for Brett. Katie, let me ask you another question.
Yeah.
Here's where I got really hot and bothered by this. Talk a little bit about, like, the, you know, first week is self-evaluation. Second week is leader evaluation. Talk a little bit about those questions. The person themselves is filling out their own self-eval, but then I believe they're filling out the eval on their leader too, right?
No, it's a component that, let me kind of break it up just a little bit. So the leader does have an evaluation, but the leader's evaluation isn't completed until all of their team's evaluations are completed and results have been reviewed. So,
gotcha.
And they are honest. They say things like, I wish I had more support here, or I need cross training here to be able to advance, or I'm not sure that I can advance with this. And that brings up topics for me for the leaders one-on-one is kind of, why does this person feel like they don't have any other options? Or is there anything we can do to kind of train that person? So for the people in leadership positions, it's just a little bit different, but that's a handful of our reviews in comparison to the entire agency.
Do you think they're so honest because of the culture of your agency and the quality of people that Brett and you and everybody's hired over there? I mean, let's face it, some agencies would probably get more, air quotes, honesty than others. I've worked for some people, I can guarantee you I wouldn't be honest because they'd hold it against you. And next thing you know, you're fired.
It probably takes a couple of cycles of this too before people realize, like, oh, wait a minute, they're not going to do that.
Yeah, it definitely takes a couple of cycles because, I mean, and people have been in organizations before, and I don't want to say that we're different. We definitely do not get it right all the time, but we'll be gung-ho about, hey, we're doing this. And then they kind of want to know that it sticks around for a little bit before they put the emotional investment into it. But I think that a huge differentiator where we really saw people buying into not just the review process, but the entire process and the culture as a whole is when people kept showing up and one-on-ones kept happening, regularly scheduled every single week, unless somebody's sick or an emergency pops up or vacation. Those one-on-ones are so huge because our managers are able to find training opportunities in them, or something comes up during the week, they use one-on-one time to train them on XYZ. And at first, leaders were not as open to it. They couldn't see how they would just find all this time in their day. And everyone was a little bit resistant at first, but really enforcing it and making sure that it happens every single week changed a lot. It shows that we're investing in them every single week, not just once a quarter, or one time per year. And being able to be vulnerable with your leader one time a week, every single week, kind of just opened up everything. It makes the quarterlies even more open and honest, and it makes an annual even more open and honest. So kind of what Bradley said, it takes a couple cycles. It absolutely does not happen overnight. I do think it speaks to our culture. And really in the last year, we have invested in a lot of one-on-one time for every single person that's in here. And I think that this last year, we're really, really starting to see why it's so important to people to just really feel loved and invested in.
Hey, Katie, I've got two questions for you, but before I do, when I was talking about culture and people being honest, Brett looked like he had something he wanted to say. Go ahead, Brett.
Oh, no, I'm smiling and because I got Katie, right? So being able as a leader, you know, being able to hire quality people and then watch them shine and getting the, you know, she's put a lot of work into this. And I'm glad for her moment, right, to be able to share what she's built and everything. So I'm smiling.
Like a proud father over there.
How often are people meeting with their manager or direct report? And how often are they meeting with agency leadership, whether it be Brett or Katie or whomever? Because what we've found, you know, we have managers in place and that sort of thing. But to me, and I'm getting ready to do this again, every now and then it's good to have that sort of one-on-one time with the CEO. Do you guys try to mix that in?
Yeah, we do. I make sure that I either go to lunch with somebody or I sit impromptu with them. Or like when I come in the morning, you know, we open at 8:30, but from 8:30 to 9, it's kind of quiet time to get things done. I'll pop in and sit with them just so they know that I am available if they're needed, if I'm needed for anything. So yeah, we do that.
Hey, here's my question. Two questions. Number one, my team works in pairs. Everybody works in pairs. So like Clinton Orr and Kaylin Weston have a standing 9 a.m. call every morning. But I don't know if that's what you're talking about or if you're talking about a daily meeting where we talk more about other stuff. You understand what I'm saying, Katie? Because my team works in pairs, more than likely that person's probably talking to their boss every day. Now, it's probably not how your performance is. It's probably like, hey, we need to call on Mr. Johnson because he called yesterday about blah, blah, blah. You see what I'm getting at?
Mm-hmm.
Are you talking about the same thing or are you talking about a different conversation every day?
No. So they have a weekly one-on-one with their leader, with their direct report every single week. It's about 20 to 30 minutes. It's on the schedule for 20 minutes. Most times they can get it done in 20. Sometimes it bleeds over to half an hour.
Yeah.
And that is the time where they're talking about maybe it's training, maybe it's issues, maybe it is performance, but it's being touched on every single week. Yeah. That way, by the time you get to a quarterly or an annual, there's no surprises. And honestly, the annual is not spent talking about performance at all. It might be like you really crushed it this year, but it's not like you wrote $81,000 in revenue, right? That number is already out there. It's transparent. We talk about it all year long. We talk about it every week. By the time they get to reviews, it's talking about the person, their development, where they're growing to, what they think they need training on, how the agency can support them and taking themselves to the next level. It's not performance. That's already hashed out there. And so there's no surprises by the time they get to that part.
Katie, I had the next question I had, and then I want to get to Brad on some stuff. What is your schedule for your performance reviews? You brought that up when we first started. You're like, you know, we have this scheduled. It's a 3-week process. Is it once a year, once a quarter, biannual? Like what's that schedule look like?
Yeah. So it's once a year right now. It's always in January. Brett decided one year that we were going to do all our performance reviews the paper way, right? The printed, handwritten paper
Good
way.
Good job, Brett. He was going to put every single one of those papers in his filing cabinet behind his desk in a manila folder. We were going to keep those in the employee file for 10 years behind his desk. That's his fourth filing cabinet, not his fifth. That's how we were going to do it.
Yeah. By 12:31, they were all going to be done. And that's the year I was like, I will never do this again.
Never, ever,
put it
ever.
In the accordion file.
Yeah.
Right. So we do them once a year. We do them in January. It's from the last week of January to the second week of February. We'll have a couple people that'll be sick or on vacation and we just get them done as soon as possible after that. But it's not one thing that was really important to our team is this isn't just another meeting that's on your calendar. Right. You know, this is coming. We're going to knock this out in your regular weekly one-on-one and kind of keep it moving. We want it to be regular for them. We want them to know that this is part of the process and it's going to come up every single year. It's not something that we keep separate and it's this holy process. It's not where we wanted it to go anyway. It's just every year we're going to talk about you as an employee and what you think you do well, what you think that you don't do well, and talk about growth in that time. So Yeah, it's once a year. Because we're on EOS, we also have quarterly conversations, which is just another time that we're, it's at the same time as their weekly one-on-one, but there's a separate set of questions that we have that get brought up then. I'll say, because we implemented weekly one-on-ones, the quarterlies, they're still good. But sometimes I think we're probably doing them for the sake of having a quarterly conversation because we're on EOS, because our weekly one-on-ones are so productive.
So, Katie, before we get off this topic, go through some of the questions that are in your performance review, because I found these to be wildly interesting.
Yeah. So it's the same question set for employees and for leaders. So everybody's being evaluated on the exact same data point. How they read the question might just be different. So the employee may see it in first person, and then the leader probably sees it in third person. So one of the questions is, can your work be used as an example for other employees? And they're rating themselves 1 to 5, 5 being the best. And then their leader would see, can their work be used as an example for other employees? Then, are all of your renewals, opportunities, cases, or apps consistently up to date, 1 through 5? Most people are very honest. Like, we have very few people that we think, they're going to say they always do this, but the truth is that it's probably in their 50% of the time. They're very honest with themselves. So we have 7 sections. It's work quality, reliability, job knowledge, initiative, teamwork, and technology. I missed communication, listening skills. It's actually hilarious that that's the one that I left out of that. But so there's questions like, how would you rate your willingness to take on new or challenging tasks? Their leader sees, of course, the opposite side of that. Do they, without hesitation, step up to help a coworker when they're busy or on vacation? Are they listening to what the client's true insurance needs are? Trying to just pick a couple so you get a few each section.
And by the way, Katie, who is doing the performance evaluation on the leaders? In other words, I don't know how many team members you have. We have 14 at my agency total, which is a blend of employees and then leaders, managers, whatever you want to call it. And so you do this performance evaluation on employees, but then who's doing that same first person review on the leaders?
I am.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha.
So they're filling out their review the same way anybody would, and then I'm doing it on them. So I take my own feedback, but I'm also taking feedback from each of their team members. Cause I want to know if somebody says that I feel like I always ask for this and never get anywhere. I want to know that.
Right.
Well,
that's because you have self-awareness and you're mature. Some people don't want to know that kind of stuff.
Right. And the whole point of doing it in kind of a self-reflection section is that some people are going to blow through my door and say, I've asked, whoever for this 5 times, they haven't got it back to me. And then some people are going to hang on to it and write it down in a format. So we want to have the opportunity to get the feedback several ways.
Now, what you don't know about this process is when we go to the Greenwich group together, Brett and I do his review myself. So he does. I'm kidding.
Tell everybody how polar opposite your presentation was at the Greenwich group compared to Brett's.
That's probably the funniest thing that's ever happened in the history of the world.
And I know that was real because Brett's laughing.
So we get sat down, and this is our presentation to determine whether we get into this, CEO level mastermind group. And it's in Chicago at a really nice hotel conference room. There's probably, Brett, 20 people in the room? 15, 20?
Yes.
These guys are like, hi, I'm Stephen Smith. My agency has $150 million in premium. Or, let me even say that. It's like, everything's revenue. And Chris Purdy so stands up and he says, so we've got 2 potential members today. And as we start this meeting, I would like for each one of them and take maybe 5 to 10, 15 minutes to stand up and give us a presentation on who they are, their family, their agency. And we'll start with Brett Merrill. Everybody golf clap.
Did y'all know that you had to do a presentation, or is Brett an overachiever?
I don't know. I didn't.
I didn't.
Everybody claps. I am sitting at a table, y'all.
Mahogany. You had to go second too.
Hold on. You're getting way ahead of me.
Sorry.
I'm sitting at a mahogany conference table, leatherback, Italian leatherback chairs. There's probably way over $1 billion in premium sitting in that table. And I look over to the guy beside me and I go, it would be the most embarrassing, let's not forget that word, embarrassing one, and Brett Merrill thing two, that that son of a gun gets up and has a PowerPoint presentation. I'm saying this as Brett is getting up to go to the head of the mahogany conference table to give his 15-minute presentation. And I look over to my right shoulder as he's walking by me, and I look kind of look back over my right shoulder. He's holding a damn PowerPoint clicker. He proceeds to get up. And with probably the most, I'm talking Bank of America board meeting PowerPoint presentation I have ever seen, highlighted with framed pictures of his family, goes through the operational success of his agency. And the whole time, the blood has completely left my face. And I'm sitting there, and I have a legal notebook with me.
Yeah.
Okay. The one I've been carrying for years. I just stick a legal.
Yeah.
And it's open and blank, and I have a pen, and I'm watching this, and all the people there, they're, you know, yeah, man, oh, my God, this is fantastic. Great insurance. You can hear people, hey, we got to have him in here. We got to get him in.
Hope so, the next guy does good.
And sweat is starting to come down the sides of my, and I thought,
this is like a nightmare.
There has never been, listen, everybody listen to this right now. This is the worst experience of my life since the eighth grade when I forgot my science project was due. And I decided, shout out to Dwayne Davis, RIP, my science teacher ninth grade. And Sunday night rolled around. I had not done anything for my science project. So I went in the backyard with a shovel, and I called it Cup of Dirt. Hold on. It gets so much better. It gets so much better. I had a cup of dirt with the white cardboard paper that you get at Walgreens or CVS that like you write the sign for college game day on.
Yep.
I had that, and I wrote it with a Sharpie that said Cup of Dirt. No problem there.
Plot twist, you won the science fair.
Hold on. Next day, Monday, I go to the gymnasium where they're setting up the science projects. My cup of dirt that I spent 12 minutes on, 15 minutes on, is sitting here, and next to me is a kid whose dad was a professor of some kind of engineering at Vanderbilt University, and his dad has come up with a thing called the Cool Can. The Cool Can, I guess, was purchased by Coors Light because you pop the top on the can and the can gets cold. Uh-huh. He's the one that developed that. Andrew, what was his last name? I can't remember his last name. That was Andrew's science project, which won the freaking Alabama State Science Fair in Montgomery. So
this was exactly the same.
Next to the cup of dirt. Brett gets finished, and as he's wrapping up this 15-minute long, like something you'd see in a senior-level MIT PowerPoint presentation that he's just finished, at the very end, as I can tell he's about to wrap up, I think to myself, what can I do? I have nothing. I have nothing. I take my pen. Y'all, this is what I did. I take my pen, I draw me in a stick figure, and then up above me, I put Scott. And then over here, I draw a stick figure. But here comes the big finale, guys. I put boobies on the stick figure. That was Kim. And then I put up our kids below this. And when I get up, I fold it up. And because at this point, I'm like, I've got to go so far the other way. I don't even keep it in a straight piece of paper.
I saw it, and it looks exactly how you guys are picturing right now.
Yeah. I fold it up into fours, like half and half, like you would a receipt, or like, yeah, like an invoice that you're going to throw. I put it in my back pocket. I walk up to the, so he finishes, standing ovation. Got to have this guy in the Greenwich group. Congratulations. Brett Merrill, ladies and gentlemen. Brett. I stand up. I walk up front. As I get up, I fold the paper. I put it in my pocket. I go up and I start. Hi, guys. My name is Scott Howell. I protect insurance, Huntsville, Alabama. Reach in my back pocket and unfold my stick figures. And I start showing people, literally, I go, so my name is Scott Howell. This is me. I'm Scott. This person over here with boobies, that's the stick figure right here. This is my wife, Kim. And Brett, correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't I say something like, she looks so good in a bikini, I think that'll probably be the only reason you let me in this. Did I say that, Brett? Yes or no?
Yeah, that's exactly what you said. And everybody started dying. They were bellied over. Yeah.
So the only thing that would have been funnier is if you would have drawn it in real time while you were standing up there.
The whiteboard.
Scott texted me because I knew he was going up there, and Scott texted me and he said, well, this is how it's going. And he sent me a picture of the stick figures and said, Brett Merrill had a 15-minute slideshow dissertation and I drew stick figures.
Dude, second most embarrassing time in my life,
you got in.
After Cup of Dirt.
You got in.
I did get in.
Both of you, obviously, you weren't going against each other.
No. So, I don't know.
I'll tell you what he did. Then he turns around and starts walking away. And then I was like, what is he about to do? And he turns around and goes into the insurance guy spiel. And it was like the everybody around the table was like sitting up in their seats. It was awesome. So he did really, really good.
Well, hello there. Guys, excuse me for interrupting your regularly scheduled podcast, but I'm here today to get you out of aggregator and cluster jail. This may be the most important message I've ever delivered on the Insurance Guys podcast. Guys, are you a member of a cluster or an aggregator? Does your contract have exit fees, termination payments, buyback provisions? It's time to get your freedom back and do what we did here at iProtect Insurance. Join the AC, the future of aggregators in our industry. Best decision we've ever made, guys. Best decision we've ever made. No entry fees, small $200 a month membership fee, over 50 plus carriers for direct appointments. And by the way, new ones coming on board each and every month. You keep 100% of your commissions, profit sharing every year. Guys, we have made in the last 2 years, each year our agency has made over $100,000 in profit sharing. Here's the best part, guys, and this is the part I'm the most passionate about. No termination or exit fees. You give the AC 60 days notice and you're free. You go get direct appointments wherever you want. There's no buyback provisions, no exit clauses. Guys, if you're a member of another aggregator and you have termination fees, buyback provisions, exit clauses, every single policy you write, you're digging that hole just a little bit deeper. And one day you're not going to be able to get out of it. It's going to be too much. You're going to be taking out a second mortgage on your home to try to get out of a cluster group. Unbelievable. Guys, go to acfree.org. That's acfree.org and register. Find out why over 650 agencies and $3 billion in premium have chosen the AC. And guys, here's the best part. But wait, there's more. Mention the Insurance Guys podcast when you talk to these guys and you get 6 months. That's 6 months of no membership fee just by mentioning the Insurance Guys podcast. Go today, www.acfree.org, and let me help you get your freedom back. Have a great day.
Take us through I have a couple things. So I did a webinar last week for about 200 agents on why you need to hire a COO in your agency. So many agency owners, majority of agency owners, they are the COO for their agency. I think hiring a COO that's a separate person is a better use of everybody's time. Take us through you know, Katie, you've got it on your bio. And I actually would love to get both of you to answer this. You've got it on your bio, solves problems A to Z. What's a typical day look like? And I'm sure there's no typical day, because I think Kenneth here, our COO, if you asked him, there's no day this. But
by the way, guys, for those of you that don't know, I'm pretty sure COO is Chief Operating Officer.
Correct. COO, we call it Director of Ops.
Yeah. What do you do, Katie?
What's the typical day? And then Brett, how does having Katie do these things in the typical day really free you up to focus on the agency at a high level?
Right. I think you nailed it by first saying there's no typical day. Every day is different. And I think to truly be an operations person, you have to be okay with that.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe what are some of the typical things you do? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. A lot of systems, a lot of technology, and trying to just figure out how to be more efficient. I say solving problems A to Z because I honestly think that's it, because a problem can rear its head so many different ways. It can be we're having problems with systems or having problems with people, having to facilitate conversation between two people who are just not seeing eye to eye. It can be problems with carriers. So on the personal line side too, but mostly in the commercial side, if somebody has something that's really hard and our account management team and producer team have kind of already talked about it and tried to figure out, is it a market issue? Is it we need to make one more phone call to a carrier? Is it something that's just above me and I need the next person? But really getting creative with the whole team and helping them solve their problems. It can be, I say really everything A to Z. And it depends on what time of year it is and what's going on, but constantly reviewing people and performance and making sure that we're doing the most that we possibly can for people, helping them where we should and giving more where we can. And when I say constantly reviewing systems and processes, when I'm absolutely healthy and aligned and in my role exactly where I should be, pushing off what I should not have in my box, that is probably what I spend most of my time doing, and researching how to get better. And we have a awesome CFO that has come in and just trying to absorb from her the business side that I don't understand, which is a lot of the accounting and finance, and having her just teach me top to bottom, this is what you want to look for, this is what's healthy, and really just relying on professionals when I need somebody else, figuring out what we're good at, what we're not good at, and trying to get everybody running the same direction.
And it's probably one of those things. It's like, you know, somebody told me recently, if your business doesn't have problems, it doesn't exist. And it's one of those things. I don't know about you guys, but like when things seem too good, I'm like unsettled, because I'm like, what is out there that's not good that I just don't know about yet?
Yeah.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Is the acronym COO, Chief Operating Officer, is that a fancy word for agency manager?
Yeah.
I think that
what would be something a COO might do or might not do that an agency manager might do or not do? Or would it be kind of the same thing? I'm just asking. I don't know. I mean, you're talking about a guy that got up and did stick figures.
I honestly, Scott, I think you can call it anything you want to call it.
Yeah.
Everybody's going to have their likes and dislikes when it comes to names. I mean, honestly, what we're trying to accomplish as an agency is I don't want to have, at the level that we're at, I don't want a bunch of senior VPs, VP of this, VP of that. Like, we're trying to
run a bank. You don't want to run a bank? You don't want to run a bank?
That's what most agencies do. Somebody will reach out to me. I'm the vice president at such and such agency. And I'm like, oh, that's awesome, man. You're 23 years old. And I look, I'm like, oh, they have 18 senior vice presidents.
Yeah. Banks do that. They're notorious for that.
We're not trying to do the bank model. It's good in one way because you can give them a title and not have to pay them on that. But, you know, our goal as an agency is to give a place where people can come and grow. I want to give them an opportunity they'll never get anywhere else. Mm-hmm. And I know that kind of sounds selfish, and that's not what I'm trying to convey in any manner. But if we are not growing, mm-hmm. We're going to lose people. Mm-hmm. And the hardest thing for a lot of agencies is recruitment. But then we spend a tenth of our time actually worried about our staff, right. And we worry 90% of the time on sales. Well, if you don't have staff to take care of it and the retention and keep them happy, you're just going to have that revolving door and it's never going to work out.
Especially in Florida.
Mm-hmm. Especially in Florida.
So how many employees do you guys have?
So we're at 28 now.
28. Okay. So what I told people on my webinar last week is, so we're at 18. The way most agencies are ran and really most small businesses is you have what I call a flat culture. You have one boss that 17 people report to. And it's horrible for both parties because these 17 people don't feel like they're getting the adequate time with this person that they need in order to be good at their job. And you're so freaking stressed out because you have 17 people reporting to you. Whereas when you layer leadership positions in there and you layer people in between, it doesn't mean they can't go talk to the CEO and have those sit downs and that sort of thing. That's very important too, but it allows problems to flow back and forth a lot easier. And basically your CEO doesn't really hear about stuff unless it's really bad or unless it's something that only they can solve.
Correct. Yeah. I mean, we're trying to, as we continue to grow, also, if you've got everybody that's senior VPs or VPs, like where do they go?
Right.
So really what's a focus of us right now is taking a person from day one and making a career path for them and showing them, hey, at each of these markers, this is how you can grow both professionally, monetarily, or anything else. And again, it goes back to not spending the time on your team, but then complaining everywhere else that we can't keep people, we can't find people. If you find them and you keep them and you cultivate that relationship, you don't always have to be out there, you know, waiting, you know, hiring all these recruiting services to find people. So you ask the question of what that does for Katie or what it does for me. So when Katie's handling the team, and she's a lot better in a lot of areas than I am, but my responsibility shift to helping out with sales, helping with carrier relationships, helping to keep the vision going. Like, okay, here, we've already met this mark. Where's the next one? And keeping that vision and constantly talking to the team from a different level of saying, hey, here's where we're going. And then showing them that. And then Katie is, you know, building up the leaders that are already in our business. So that's really what it allows me to do. Since I'm not in the day-to-day, I think the days of an agency owner that truly wants to grow being in all facets of the business, you can't do it anymore. Not with tech, not with carrier, the hard market, with carrier relationships, like everything moves too quick. You'll get stagnant if you don't staff right.
Too many agency owners get shiny object syndrome too. Like you'll see, I mean, you see it all day long in these Facebook groups. I see agency owners doing things and getting involved in things that, frankly, I don't know that I think is the best use of their time. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It doesn't mean those things aren't important, but what I tell people to do is put together a little activity matrix. So it's a think of a big plus sign, right? And you've got four buckets and it's things you're good at and things you like doing, but you're not good at. Things you don't like doing and you're not good at, and things that you're good at, but you don't like doing, and start put all of the things that you do in one day in one of those four buckets, and you start eliminating them one by one and delegating them out, whether it be to a COO or an assistant or something of that nature. And you can, not only do you free up your time, your people are happy, hopefully, that they have more responsibility. And they're happier because things are flowing in a much smoother way rather than having one person work themselves to death doing all of those things.
Yeah. With our, you know, going back to the employee reviews or evaluations, you know, one of the things that we do well is we have three core values, which is humbly confident, find a way, and leave a legacy. We attach every one of those sections, like work quality, everything that we're looking for, to a core value. That way, everybody is on the same page with what we're trying to accomplish, you know, doing everything, you know, the right way. And so, you know, the other thing I was going to say, too, is as an agency principal, like I'm always trying to recruit, and Katie taking a lot of this off of me, it allows me to do that. So when I'm meeting people, I'm saying, hey, is this person the right fit for our business? If not now, could they be? And I'm writing that stuff down, and I'm always trying to recruit for what is the next phase of our business. So it allows me to free up. And I will say this, I am, how Katie came to our agency was when I was a producer, I had an account, and end up writing the account, and the guy actually became my mentor. And he was like, hey, I got to know Katie's mom working as the agent. She was doing a lot of certificate stuff, and I was working with her a lot. And then Ken, who passed away actually a year ago, and I got to speak at his eulogy, and I get to look out in the crowd, and Katie's there. And that's the legacy that he left for me, because he's like, hey, you need to go get her. She's going to work in your business one day. And I listened to his advice from a client, you know, and now here she is. She came in, and in within 2 years, she's been our COO. So just listen to people, ask people who you need. And then in your mind, as the principal or the leader, whoever it is in the meeting, where can you see this person down the road and start trying to put the pieces together?
Hey, Brett, I asked you before we started this podcast, and you've touched on a lot of this. I think we're going to have to get off here in about 5 minutes. But before we do, and again, you've kind of touched on this pretty well so far. But I said, Brett, tell me something. What are you guys the best at? And I always caveat that question by saying, you know, I know it's hard from a humility standpoint to tell somebody what are you the best at, but your response to that was finding and retaining talent. You just talked about how you found her. Is that the secret sauce? Is just always looking and always listening to people, looking for great people, looking for talking to people, listening to people who you love and respect when they say, hey, you need to hire this person. Is that kind of the secret sauce?
It is.
Yeah.
And then retaining him is the key, because if you're always adding new things to your business processes wise, but you're always having to say it 15 times to the new person sitting in the seat, you're never going anywhere.
Right.
You know, we've got a bunch of God stories in here. I want to say this first and foremost, like God is, blessed our business. And if it wasn't for him, we wouldn't have anything for sure.
Here.
We have a young lady that's sitting in our team right now on the commercial side that my dad went through the bank. She was a bank teller. Yep. And he just kept planting the seed. And she said, hey, I one day she won an opportunity. She right. came and she's here. We have family members, right? Hey, you need to hire my cousin. I know a lot of us are against kind of that stuff, but if you have the right systems in place, you can do that. So it's just always asking. I think we're always too reactive. We wait until we need a vacancy
right.
or have a vacancy before we fill the need. And we're always trying to stay ahead of that. And as Chris would say, Chris Paradiso, like you're overstaffed.
Right.
I won't say we're overstaffed, but we're in a healthy sure. period right now with our agency. And then once you have them, like we're always trying to recruit new customers, but we focus on recruiting our, it's like the NIL. It's like the, mm-hmm, you know, right. The college football. Now you have to recruit your own staff every single day, because you don't think that, you know, I'm getting the emails and I'm, you know, the owner now,
right.
like, hey, come join our team. Well, they're getting hit up on LinkedIn, Facebook, and everywhere else. I'm sure after this podcast, everybody trying to be Coach Katie, but you know, if you're not recruiting your own team, then somebody else is. And so we want to stay so locked tight with them that we can have those crucial conversations when it's had. And we can also get the praise where it's needed. And if you're a place where, you know, you're open to them, but you hold them accountability, people like that kind of stuff from what we've seen so far.
Well, and two, it's like, so the number one Chick-fil-A in the country is in Miami. And the main reason they are the number one Chick-fil-A in the country is because they have a 3-day work week. So they work in two shifts. This team works, say, this day to this day. This team works this day to this day. And they work 3 days and they have 4 off. And that guy has such a pool of candidates that want to go to work for him that he's always got his best pick of the recruits. But then the people that are there are really on their game because they know they have 15 people waiting to take their spot. I think that's a key to having a business run well, not just from a recruitment standpoint. I think it has a trickle-down effect with everything else. If you're constantly recruiting, constantly talking to new people, whether you're really hiring or not.
100%. Yeah, we used to have dedicated people to like, hey, if A through Z, you would talk to this person, right? A, you know, Z through whatever, you talk to this person. We switched that a number of years ago, but what we found out is people get used to talking to the same person. Well, as our business has grown, we haven't been able to do that. We have a lot of redundancies in place. So if somebody's out, we're still, you know, handling business. So, you know, it may not be, you know, Katie that you're talking to every week, but, you know, when I transfer you to Megan or I transfer you to Alex or whoever, you've heard that name over and over and over. And a big testament to my dad, you know, my dad told me about 6 years ago that we need to get younger. He had, we have five different people that had been with my dad 25 plus years retire. And so we, you know, I at the time it was just me, got to work and started asking and trying to figure out. And now, you know, today's my birthday. I'm 38 years old. And
happy birthday, you know, brother.
Thank you, man. But I'm one of the youngest people, or our oldest people, excuse me, on the team. And that's awesome because it is a, you know, tech driven industry now. And so you
it's
have
great
to have
foresight it. By your dad, because I feel like not a lot of older agency owners have the humility to realize that.
Yeah, it was.
Well, I'm going to shut this thing down, but before I do, allow me to get on my soapbox. First and foremost, guys, you're listening to one of the best agencies in the country today. These folks have got it dialed in. Everything that they say, you need to be writing down. If I could pick, hand to God on my son's life, if I could pick one agency in America that I could copy their processes, procedures, the way they do things, core values, putting God first in their life, doing the right thing, no matter what the right thing is, I would pick the Merrill Agency. 100 times out of 100. You guys should be very proud of that. Brett, Katie, y'all should be very proud of that. And I'm proud of you. Say this, you know, Brett's talking about hiring great people. Always be hiring. Not necessarily over hiring, but I guess you could say over hiring to some degree. I'll say this, in terms of growing your agency or at a bare minimum staying where you are, if you have a lot of turnover in your agency, what are the two things I've always taught you guys that you've got to have? Accuracy and speed. People expect the Amazon experience, right? You cannot have accuracy and speed if you're always having to hire new people and they're not trained up. So now they don't know what to do and they're unconfident on the phone and they can't do it the way it needs to be done. And then people, your clients start going, well, you know, I called over the other day. Nobody could answer my question. Didn't get a call from anybody back. The person I did talk to sounded like they ought to be working at the damn drive-through window at Taco Bell. I'm telling you right now, if you have a bunch of turnover in your agency and you don't hire great people, and instead of being Paula Deen and sweet tea to folks, they act like the damn DMV and hang up the phone on folks and can't answer their questions and, well, I don't know, but I'm going to transfer to you, Melissa. Maybe she – recipe for disaster, folks. Recipe for disaster. And before long, you're not going to be in the insurance business anymore. You're going to go be doing something else and blaming everybody else, talking about how it's not your fault. It's everybody else's fault. Anyway, I'll get off my soapbox. Brett, I love you. Happy birthday to you today. You should be so proud, both of you, what you guys are continuing to build over there.
Thank you so much. It means a lot.
Well, it's the truth. It's the truth. And I tell, you know, if somebody calls me in 30 minutes, I tell them the exact same thing. If I could copy one agency in America, it'd probably be yours. I've been so impressed with what you guys have done from a process standpoint and just how you do things. Anyway.
Thank you. We definitely don't have it figured out, but we work hard at it every day.
Ain't none of us got it figured out. Exactly. That's another beautiful thing about being in the insurance industry. You're never going to figure it all out, but you know, you can flip it on its head and say, that's why I love the industry, because every day is different and you're always learning something new. You're always growing. You have an opportunity to meet fantastic people like the two of you. And anyway, I could keep going. Guys, thank you so much for listening to the show today. As I end every episode, rewards come from action, not discussion. Get your ass out from behind that desk today. Go out into the big bad world. Build relationships. Become the mayor of your village. Find great, talented people that are great people and bring them in your agency and hire them and give them the rope to grow and to have opportunities and to be the best person that they they can be. I you know, talking about nepotism or whatever, I brought my stepdaughter in as a marketing assistant about 3 or 4 months ago, and she has crushed it, absolutely crushed it. And so proud of her and what she's accomplished in her short time with our agency. And you know what? She's 20. I think she just turned 21. And before that, if I'd have said something about insurance, she would have scoffed. And now she absolutely loves it. I mean, she is all about it. And I think the more she grows and learns and gets to do cool things, and it just seems like it's compounding on itself. And very proud of her and what she's accomplished in her short time with us. But write good business for the companies that you represent. Go out and make money for your family, for your wife, for your kids' college fund, and for your parents and your in-laws out there. Go make money for them. Write good business for the agencies that you represent, and write good business for the companies that you represent. Bradley Flowers, I love you.
Thanks, man. Thanks, Katie. Thanks, Brett.
Hey, happy 29th today, brother. I'll see you in May.
All right.
Bye, guys.
Guys, you are listening to the Insurance Guys podcast, and we love each and every one of you. Thank you so much for being a part of our family. And we'll see you back here real soon. Take care.
Thanks for listening to the Insurance Guys podcast. If you need to know more about me or you need to get in touch with Scott, you can always reach me at theinsuranceguyonline.com or email me at scott@iprotectinsurance.com. And if you need to get in touch with Mr. Bradley Flowers, go to portalinsurance.com or email him at bradley@portalinsurance.com. Guys, we love you. We thank you so much for listening to our show and being a part of our family. And we look forward to seeing you again next week on the next episode of the Insurance Guys podcast. Take care.